Hey, ruminations, man. Gotta do these. Yeah, man. You know, I find myself about to get on the ramble about something to myself in my mind, and I go, wait a minute. You better go get that dang thing. You get that doggone recorder and throw that bitch on and get a rumination started, man, so we can get this shit on the road, you know, get this little show on the road, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, right? Now, the thing I was thinking about is I've noticed that, you know, my representatives and congressmen, they don't want to go to the stove at all. They don't. Now I'm noticing they're not. I mean, because for some reason, dude, the population here somehow doubled because all these events and summer shit are all packed together in each and every weekend here. So, but let me get off that because that's not the crux of what we're trying to get to in this rumination, right? And it goes like this. Now, back in the day, and I'd say pre-1967, I'll say, or prior to 1973. I think that's a lot better, a lot more accurate, I hope. Because 73, that would be the year of the Yom Kippur War. All right? And I'm reading these declassified CIA stories about James Jesus Angleton. You know, I've brought him up in a few, you know, buckets, and you know, I've spoke my piece about it, you know. And it's due to the allies of our country, man, in which we find ourselves in perpetual warfare, and we end up embodying the every word of Smedley Butler's, General Smedley Butler's famous quote, "War is a racket." And I'm here to explore why that is. And more often than not, it's because this country is simping for them allies, boy. Yeah, it's time to get your red pills, man, on politics this time. So here you go. Now, before 1973, our ally list in priority goes like this. Okay. Priority number one. And it used to be like this. They would be what the intelligence community, or the IC, would call it the Five Eyes countries. And basically, that's us here, United States, Canada, the UK, all right? Then there's New Zealand and Australia. So the Five Eyes countries, that's the number one priority back then, pre-1973, right? Number two, the next ally would have to be Israel. Israel, that's number two, right? And for the obvious reasons. Because the unofficial or official, depending on who you ask, religion of this country gotta be Judeo-Christian. You know, of the Abrahamic faith, either they are going to church or they go in the synagogue, right? So Israel would be the next one, you know, next one down in their priority list. And this is pre-1973, y'all. So don't get it twisted with today. Then the third priority, and that would have to be all other European countries in which we have a trading interest with. So to, well, it would be, well, basically Western Europe. Nowadays, we call it the EU, right? So after the third, which is the all Western European countries with an interest in, which has our interests within, you know. Fourth in priority would have to be any country, whether it's, you know, you could say our neighbors, you know, for instance, Mexico is a good example. I mean, you know, before even NAFTA, you know, they were in that priority, in that number. And then the fifth priority, and I would like to say for the sake of abbreviation for this rumination, that would have to be any other ally that we hold in high regard with respect to trade, whether they're in the, you know, in the continents, you know. I'd say if they're, you know, a good example would have to be, India, right? Indonesia, you know, any country that we're not going hard to go to war against, and we have some sort of economic interest in it. Number five would be any country in the world that we consider an ally, you know. So that's how it goes. You know, it goes Five Eyes, number one, Israel, number two, all of Western Europe, number three, neighbors like Mexico, you know, Cuba would have been one of those, but you know what happened with that, right? And then five is every other country around the world, not even near us. You know, they could be in the oceanic regions and in the Pacific, or they could be, you know, in Asia. They could be in Africa, you know what I'm saying? Shit like that. And then post-1973, after the Yom Kippur War, here's our priority list today. Number one, Israel. Now, keep in mind, Israel had gotten their nukes in around that time. And a guy that, well, you know, Angleton, I'm quick to bring the guy up. He, you know, first, his interests, when he did the spying, he started off in Bletchley Park with Kim Philby et al. And all of that. And then he goes into Italy, you know, Italian interests, you know, to fix everything post-war Italy. And then after that, he focused on Israel, and he was one of the first guys, first American citizen, that knew that Israel had nukes. He knew that. Everybody else didn't, but guys like him knew that, right? So priority one, A+. That would have to be Israel. This is why you see, you know, political action committees taking advantage of the money talks aspect of the First Amendment. The Citizens United case isn't just for corporations or people anymore. This is due to political action committees, you know, throwing money at our government, you know, in the form of bribes. Excuse me, lobbying. There you go. So number one is Israel. Number two, That would be what the intelligence community calls the Five Eyes countries. As I mentioned earlier, that would be us and any other English-speaking, mostly English-speaking country like Canada, UK, New Zealand, and Australia, right? So number two would be the Five Eyes countries. Number three, all of NATO, all of the European Union. That's number three priority. You know, after that, number four, this would have to be, Lord, I'm almost losing my train of thought, but after the EU and NATO countries, then comes the countries like, this would have to be our neighbors, kind of like in the last countdown. That would have to be our neighbors, Mexico, for instance, and things like that. And then fifth would have to be all other countries that the United States has a comfortable business relationship with, but they just so happen to be located in Asia, you know, it being in the Middle East or something, or Africa, in the Pacific Islands, and things like that. So post 1973, post Yom Kippur War, it was, you know, Israel, the Five Eyes countries, EU and NATO countries for number three. Number four would be any countries closest to us with business interests because of NAFTA. Remember that? And then five, there's the all other allies outside of the NATO sphere of influence. They would be in the UN. We'll just put it like that. Any countries that are signed up to the UN. And just so happen to be in the G20 type of a state. So when you hear G20 this, G7 that's the every other country in every other continent that isn't mostly English speaking, Jewish, Judeo-Christian, or, you know, just plain flat out far away from America. Now, 73, why do I point to that year? You know, it's not because it was the year of that Dark Side of the Moon came out and Pink Floyd took the world by storm with that album. I love that album. But, and, you know, I don't just wear a t-shirt of it like everybody else is doing. Hell, they still think Pink Floyd's a person when it's really a fucking band. Jeez, I hate it when people do that shit. But anyway, yo. Why 1973, you ask? Well, it's because of the Yom Kippur War. Israel and what is now Israel and what is now Egypt have been going back and forth and going the war and acting a fool with it, you know. And after that conflict, this is why you see, you know, strips like Gaza, strips like you got the Gaza Strip, you got West Bank, you know, that strip of land and whatnot, going to what used to be in Israel in great abundance, and that would be what we would call Palestinians. I have one here, a friend of mine, and he's a damn good saxophone player, but he's a Palestinian American, you know, cool fella. Man, love that guy, you know, and boy, he'll belt out a note like no other on the horns, right? On any brass instrument you give him, he's rocking it, you know. But let me get out of that. Well, 1973 is important because around that time, Israel was enriching uranium. They knew that they were the lone outpost of Judeo-Christian influence in a whole sea of Middle Eastern countries. You know, remember them times of Saladin, remember the times of the Crusades, remember the times that, yeah, that whole area has been the way it's been for, shit, if not millennia, but for centuries, right? And this is why our country is quick to simp for everything. Now, the one situation that, and if you do look his name up, his name is Jonathan Pollard, right? He was a, he's a defector back to Israel. And the reason why I bring up Pollard is because Pollard was sneaking in, you know, all sorts of intelligence to Israel. And you would think that, and yo, by the way, we also jailed him. We imprisoned him for a very long time for doing that. Now you're like, wait a minute, isn't Israel an ally to us? You know, what the hell are you doing that for? You know, why was he jailed? Well, he was imprisoned for a few decades, a couple of decades. What was that, 20, 30 years? Before he finally gotten released, and then he moved on over back to Israel. He defected to Israel, and years later, and Netanyahu, you know, Bibi, was over there. You know, Bibi had brought him in. Pollard kissed the tarmac, and from then on, he was a true Israeli citizen, I put in air quotes. You know, he's the one odd case where he did traitorous actions to an ally, you know, to benefit an ally country. Because that right there was the turning point, you know. That's what led to it, from the Yom Kippur War all the way to Jonathan Pollard, you know, being imprisoned for espionage and him having to come back. Well, him having to come out and over to Israel and becoming a citizen there. That whole history there of our relations with Israel comes from that, pretty much. We in the defense community, those that are in the IC, intelligence community, those that are in, or even our business community, are, you know, what damn near seems like they're tied to the hip to the Israeli government. And, you know, we've been carrying water for them ever since. Now, before 73, it was the other way around. It was around 73, in the early to late 70s. And this is like pretty much when Israel got their nukes. And, you know, our government didn't like that, you know. And you would think, man, you know, they letting, you know, the way we have been letting them slide today, you know, is basically and mainly because they're the only outpost that has nukes. And they see, and they weren't supposed to have them, according to us. But they had to be comfortable with the fact that it was actually okay for them to have it, because given their location, they're near Lebanon, they're near Egypt, Egypt, you know, they're near Lebanon, they're near Jordan, they're near Syria, they're near Egypt. And what do those countries all have in common? They are some denomination of Islam, right? And Israel, the Israeli government, is this one little bitty out, itty bitty outpost on the western side of today's Islamic influence. Now, they all got in common that one guy, and that's Abraham. And that's where the similarities end. You know? Judeo-Christian. The one situation there, the similarities end at Jesus. You know? That's when they part. That's when those two religions part ways. And I am seeing no. I mean, when I seen Tucker Carlson and Ted Cruz, Senator of Texas, going ham, bro, back and forth, a very heated back and forth, and this is over Israel. And no, they're probably good friends, you know, they probably chill, but this is where they break company. Now, keep mind you know, Tucker Carlson is more of a libertarian right wing side of the aisle. And Ted Cruz is more or less on the, you know, the conservative right wing, you know, your typical garden variety conservative, right? And where he'll go hard, where he'll go nuclear, pardon the expression, is over Israel. And I've always seen this situation with nuclear war is, and countries that have it, including ours, is it's a matter of who is suicidally stupid enough to use them. Because back then in the Cold War, our only, you know, how do I put this? You know, we were hanging on by a thread, I guess. But now today, the tensions that we had with Russia, that America had with Russia, it's now gotten bigger. You know, you remember the allies I named earlier? You know, it's the East. I'll just abbreviate it like this: East versus West right now. It's East versus West. East, and those are countries like Russia and China, Iran, North Korea. And the West, you know, much like us, the Five Eyes, and, you know, NATO countries. Right. And it's all a matter, a question of who is suicidally stupid enough to do it. And the suicidally stupid enough to do it will go. And this is why, this is actually why. Our country does not want Iran having that weapon because, in their perception, they are stupid enough. Iran is suicidally stupid enough to use it, and due to religion. But get this, Israel has a nuke. And given the Book of Revelation, they are suicidally stupid enough to use it. Not knowing that that is a mutually assured destruction situation. But, and this is what I often say, for the Bible told me so. You touch Israel, we're gonna have to bomb ya. And they're willing to take countries. I think Iran already has nukes. I mean, look at their allies, okay? Russia, China, come on, they got nukes. Even one of those countries got more nukes than we do, all right? But, you know, I already automatically assumed Iran has them. Why? because of their allies. But let's look at Israel for a brief moment. They read the book of Revelation, and that's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy if you really look at it. And if they drop a nuke, they go, hey, so be it. It's the end times. God predicted that. God's words. He predicted that. We had to do what we had to do. And that'll be the, you know, excuse just before that nuke levels their whole motherfucking, it turns their whole country into a parking lot, a glass parking lot, if you will. You know, the real question is, why the fuck did we let Israel get them? Well, it was under a pretense of, you know, they needed a little leverage. I mean, it's like they're David and all of these Islamic countries are in caliphates, or all of them are Goliath. And if they go picking on us, we can threaten that on them. That's what we'll do. Kind of reminds me of a conversation I had last night from this recording where with my bro Chad, and he was, you know, I mean, yeah, he's kind of got it. He knows what it is, but his Judeo-Christian rose-colored glasses are on when it comes to Israel. And y'all have that friend too. Y'all have that guy too. For the Bible told him so. Damn. You know? It was predicted in Revelations and bit-da-dot-de-dot. Doodly-doodly-doo. You know? And they're going to do shit like that. You know? You know, they're going to hold it down for God's chosen people. I put in air quotes, God's chosen people no matter what. And the problem with Iran having nukes was the same problem we have with Israel getting them. We knew they had them. There were even those in the intelligence community in the early 70s. James Angleton, you know, being a good example, that swept that fact under the rug, you know. And, you know, to show, like, you know, we were tough on Israel when we needed to be, you know, they look no further than the Jonathan Pollard situation. You know, an American citizen who willingly, knowingly gives espionage and things like that to Israel, you know, to back channels in Israel, to Mossad, if you will. And there's probably still more Jonathan Pollards there. I mean, he wasn't the first one, and I'm damn sure confident he won't be the last. You know, there's probably Jonathan Pollard sitting in the IC or in any of our foreign relations departments, the State Department or the Defense Department, giving away all sorts of, you know, technology and intelligence to Israel. Now it's kind of cool because, you know, it's all out in the open now after the Jonathan Pollard thing. You know, all bets are off. We're willing to, you know, do triple double backflips for that damn country when it's not good for them to have a nuke. The same reason why it's not good for Iran to have one, because one of them countries, due to their religious beliefs, would look at this situation with rose-colored glasses and be willing to level this whole world. For the Bible told them so. No different than Iran's loose equivalent. For the Quran told you so, you know. You know, so be it. So be it. If that's what we gotta do, so be it. And yes, my bro is one of those people, you know. You know, these, yeah, he's red pilled to an extent to where, you know, he gets it. But the moment he puts the freaking, you know, the moment he puts his religion in it and his spirituality in it, it's much like rose-colored glasses. He doesn't see the faults of Israel, you know. And if it comes to nuclear war, he's like, you know, so be it. It was predicted in Revelation. Now keep in mind, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy because eventually this planet is going to be rid of humans. And how long you think we're going to planet hop until, you know, the sun goes supernova? And when it goes supernova, it's not only engulfing everything in this solar system, but it's taking with it neighboring star systems. Like, for instance, our closest one, the Centauri, Proxima Centauri and Alpha Centauri. How long do you think we're going to planet hop before that supernova finally knocks us, knocks us out the box, if you will, you know? Who's to say? But anyway, back to this situation with Israel, you know, and the Israel-Iran tensions that we're looking at. And I'm like, yeah, bro, these two types of countries, whether they're enemies of us or they're our closest family, they both got one thing in common. These are countries that would be suicidally stupid enough to press the button. Now, keep in mind, we went through a whole Cold War with Russia. Russia realized it just as much as we did, that mutually assured destruction would end us all. And that wouldn't be good for us or our posterity, you know? But beware of those that are suicidally stupid enough to use it. And that's it. That's basically the crux of this, and I'll go ahead and just press the stop button on this thing and get this out to you. See you on the next bucket, next Ruination.